Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's so good to be back in the house of the Lord. So good to be back in Sydney. We thank God that the Lord granted my wife and I would say quite a profitable visit to Singapore. This time we were able to visit senior pastor. I'm so sorry to say that he is not in good health. Although he looked quite well on the face, but he's being fed through a tube, and he was not clearly not lucid at all. And when we tried to relate with him, we do not know whether or not he had any sense of perception at all. And but when we were saying goodbye to him after we prayed with him and shook his hand, he did grip our hands. He did respond. So we do not know how much understanding he has. But one thing that we know from those who are close to him is that he still has good relation with his Heavenly Father. He still prays, and that is something that is very comforting, very comforting. Now, when we saw him, of course, one thought that came to our mind was this, that this man once was such a zealous, vigorous, vital person serving the Lord, so strong. And yet now in his 15 years, he is so frail. Now what does that tell us, my dear friends? This should tell us that while we have health and strength, we must serve the Lord, because our health and our strength are not going to be with us all the time. A day will come when our health and our strength will wane to the extent that we would no longer be usable by the Lord. So while we have health and we have strength, let us use our health and strength well for his glory. And also another message that I think we can learn from such experiences of visiting people who have been serving the Lord is that while the old man or the outward man perishes, the inward man in us grows from strength to strength every day. So we thank God we had that visit with him, and we also visited our loved ones. My wife and I had the opportunity to minister to her mother, and she was able to provide some relief to the sister of hers who has been caring for my mother-in-law. My two sisters-in-law who are caring for my mother-in-law are actually in very weak health, so they need your prayer support. Please continue to pray for them. Mother-in-law is very in cheerful spirit. She is, of course, growing older, but we are so happy that she was very, very cheerful, and she is settling well into the new aged care center that she has gone to, and she is very happy to be there. Thank you for praying for her. And then we were able to catch up with her old friends, able to meet up with our brother George, and had fellowship with him. So we thank God that all in all, it was a very good visit. We had opportunities to share the gospel with our loved ones. And then one of the things that we continued to do while we were back in Singapore was to continue to hand out tracts. Yes. So I want to ask all of you that after our 30 in 30 in September, whether or not we have been giving out tracts. I trust we have been, my dear friends. Yes, let's make it a habit to hand out tracts every day. Now, this morning, my subject is, Hallowed Be Thy Name. Now, I've spoken about God being our Heavenly Father. In our Lord's Prayer, we pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. And one of the things that we need to understand is that God is not the Father or Heavenly Father of everyone. He is the Heavenly Father of people, of only those people who have come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Lord says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In other words, my dear friends, if we want God to be our Heavenly Father, and if God is really our Heavenly Father, we must necessarily be doing the will of the Heavenly Father, which means that we must believe in the one true living God, believe in him, and we must live a life of obedience to him. This would clearly show that we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only that when we have truly believed in him, that we are in a position to address him as our Heavenly Father. Then how may we know that God is our Heavenly Father? We did ask that question. Now, we may know that God is our Heavenly Father. Of course, his words say so. When we have come to trust in him as Lord and Savior, he is indeed our Heavenly Father. But we may know also that he is our Heavenly Father through our desire to have a filial relationship with him. In other words, we want to honor him. We do not want to grieve him. We do not want to sin against him. We do not want to offend him. We know that when we sin against him, we are in actual fact treating God as our enemy. And we do not want to grieve God. And when we sin, we feel very, very grieved because we do not want to grieve our Heavenly Father. And so when we sin, we will want to quickly repent from our sins so that this filial relationship that we desire very much to have with him will be restored. I think one of our dear brothers asked this question, why must we repent? Why must we repent? Now, the reason why we must repent after we have come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior is that we want to continue to maintain this filial relationship with our Heavenly Father. We want to continue to have this fellowship with him. And every time this fellowship is broken, we want very, very quickly this fellowship to be restored. Yes, we want to continue to be able to address him as our Heavenly Father. Then we know that God is our Heavenly Father. If we were to stand up for him, we'll feel very, very grieved when his name is dishonored, when his worship is adulterated, and when his truth, the word of God, is mingled with untruth, with poison. Yes, we want to stand up for him and we want to defend his truth. And then we know that God is our Heavenly Father if we are willing to confess the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior publicly. The Lord says, if any man confess me before my Father, him will I confess before my... If any man confess me, I will confess him before my Heavenly Father. If any man denies me, I will deny him before the Heavenly Father. So if indeed God is our Heavenly Father, we will want to confess our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ publicly. Now then, if God is our Heavenly Father, we will surely want to show our filial love for him. And how do we show our filial love for him? We show our filial love for him by our love for our fellow men. So we know that God is our Heavenly Father. Yes, if we always are very, very desirous to maintain this filial relationship with him. Now today we go on to the next part of the prayer, which says, hallowed be thy name. Now, what is in a name? What is in a name? Now parents are very, very careful and mindful about how they give names to their children. Now, if the parents are, especially Chinese parents, I do not know about parents of other races, but I know that Chinese parents are very, very particular about giving names to their children. To their girls, they want to give names that prophesy or predict that the girls will grow up to beautiful young ladies or beautiful ladies. And so they will give names such as Meihua, beautiful flower, or Meiye, you know, something like that, beautiful jade, and so forth. Yes. Or if they want their children, the girls, to be very sweet and very charming, they may give a name like the sound of the moon. Yes, sound of the moon. Yes, I know of one lady who has that name, the sound of the moon. Now, what about boys? Now, parents would want the boys to be very wealthy and be very, very smart, very intelligent, very scholarly. So they give names such as Wen Chai, which means what? Yes, very scholarly with great prosperity, Wen Chai. Or some would want their children to become very, very rich, and so they give names such as Fa Chai. Yes, right, so, and so forth. Now, Bible names are very, very meaningful. You know, Bible names are very, very meaningful. Now, take, for example, the name Jacob. Jacob was called Jacob because he was a supplanter, a usurper, one who would want to displace other people or displace their positions. So, when he was born with his twin brother, older twin brother Esau, he grabbed his brother by the heel, even though the two brothers were still in the womb of the mother. Yes, so he was called supplanter. And he grew up actually showing forth the characteristics of being a supplanter, a usurper. Now, even though he was a spiritual man, as our brother Anthony did bring this up at the last prayer meeting, even though he was a spiritual man and he aimed to obtain spiritual objectives, which were good objectives, but his methods of doing so were wrong. His means were incorrect. Yes, and so he swindled his brother of his birthright and of his blessings. Yes, that's why he is truthfully a supplanter and a usurper. But God was very, very kind to him. And finally, God changed his name from Jacob to Israel, which means a prince of God, or one who fights victoriously with God on his side. Now, what about God's name? Now, God first revealed his name, because we are talking about hallowed be thy name. So what about God's name? Now, God first revealed his name in the book of Exodus. We read in Exodus that when God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, Moses asked the Lord, "Now, if I came before the children of Israel, and if I were to tell them that God, the God of our fathers, has sent me to lead you out of the land of Egypt, out of the slavery of Egypt, and they ask me, what is his name? What am I going to tell them?" And the Lord gave him this reply. If you turn to Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Yes, Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Exodus 3, 13 and 14. Verse 13. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And verse 14. "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. I am that I am." That's the name of the one true living God. I am the great I am. I will be what I will be. I'm the self-existent one. I live from eternity to eternity. I'm the God of the impossible. I'm the omnipotent one. That's what is meant by I am that I am. I will be what I will be. That's what his name means. Yes, and his name also signifies his presence. Now, every time we talk about the name of God, let us understand that it means God's presence, or it signifies his presence. So when we say, may God's name be with you, or go in the name of the Lord, we are not just saying that that person should go in the authority of the Lord, and we are not just saying that he should go under the banner of the Lord, but rather we are also saying that may God's presence be with you. Yes, his very presence be with you. That is what it means when we say, may God's name be with you, or go in the name of the Lord. May the Lord's presence be with you. Now, we know this truth in Psalm 75, verse 1. All right, read for you this verse, Psalm 75, verse 1. The psalmist says, "Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare." Thy name is near, thy works declare. The works of creation tell us very, very clearly that God is really very, very near us. So, when we say, go in his name, we are actually saying, may God's presence be with you when you go. That's what it means. Then to know his name also means to know him. It's not just knowing a name, but when we say we know the name of God, we actually mean we know Him. We know Him, and we know Him not just know Him casually, not just know Him in a superficial manner, but know Him in a very experiential manner. Now, we know the name Malcolm Turnbull. Of course, we know that he's the Prime Minister of Australia. We know that maybe we know the name of his wife. We know how many children he has. We know his address and so forth. But that's all. But friends, when we say we know God, it means far, far, far more than that kind of knowledge. It is experiential knowledge. It is knowing God's power working through our life. It's knowing His operation through our life. Knowing Him in a very experiential way. That is what is meant by knowing the name of the Lord. It is actually to know Him in an experiential way. Now let's move on to the next word. The word is hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. What does it mean? Now the word hallowed means to set apart. All right, let's be very clear. It means to set apart. In other words, a thing that is hallowed is not for common use. It is for special use. It is not to be spoiled. It is not to be abused. Now, when I was a kid, we hardly had anything luxurious in the home. But there was one thing that came close to being luxurious, and that was a piece of rug that we had in the home. It was a beautiful piece of rug. I can still remember how that piece of rug looks like. In the center of that piece of rug was a beautiful bouquet of flowers, red flowers, very bright red flowers. And this bouquet of red flowers was weaved on over a golden background, which in turn, of course, turned a little brownish. And then this piece of rug had a round border, a wreath of red flowers with green leaves, and if I remember correctly, some yellow flowers also. So it was a very beautiful piece of rug. Now, did my parents throw this piece of rug on the floor for us to trample over? No, it was for special use. You know, we didn't use it as a piece of rug to be walked over, but we used it for a very, very special purpose. And only at a very special time, we used it only during Chinese New Year, from day 1 to day 15. And it was used as a piece of tablecloth put over our round marble table in the home. I still remember that. We treasured it. It was something special. It was hallowed, you might say. Right? Something special, something that we set apart, our parents set apart for a very, very special purpose. Now, that's what the word hallowed means. Now, in the temple of God in the sanctuary, there were many articles that were made use for a very special purpose. Yes, they were made use of for the worship of the one true living God exclusively. The golden spoons, the golden basin, and the golden bowls, they were all made use of for the worship of the one true living God. They were hallowed items, you might say, hallowed items. Now, they were made use not for common purpose, for the worship of the one true living God. So must God's name be hallowed. Yes, the name of God must be set apart, never to be abused, but to be treated with utter reverence and to be treated with utter holiness. And His name must never be taken in vain. So let's remember, when we say we want to hallow God's name and His name must be hallowed, it means to treat God's name as very, very special. We must hold that name. Hold that name up with reverence and with utter holiness. And we must give glory to that name. But can we add glory to the name of the Lord? Can we? We can't. When we say we glorify the name of the Lord, or we are to honor and to glorify the name of the Lord, let's understand we cannot add glory to God's name, because God is already perfectly glorious. So what does it mean to glorify God? To glorify God means to make God more glorious in the eyes of men. That's what it means. Because we cannot add glory to God's name. Let's remember that. Now, maybe this little illustration might help you understand the meaning of the word to glorify God's name. Let's imagine that you and several other people are lost in a cave, dark cave. All right, then you walk along. Then all of a sudden you look up onto the ceiling of the cave, there appears to be a little light shining through, some light shining through, but the ceiling is quite high up. And then you volunteered and said, I will climb up, all right, to have a look at this hole. And so you climb up, and then by your special means, you're able to enlarge that hole, to cause the hole to be bigger, to allow more sunlight to get through. Now, did you make the sun any brighter? No, you did not, but you allow more sunlight to get through. And that's what is meant by glorifying the name of the Lord. You are allowing God to work through you so that God would appear to be more glorious in the eyes of men. That is what is meant by glorifying the name of the Lord. Now, so, the next question is, when do we hallow His name? And how do we hallow His name? When do we hallow His name? It has everything to do with the word exalting His name, to exalt His name. Alright, and that's what I want to make use of this morning, this word exalts. And I want to use it as an acronym. Alright, so first of all, let's begin with the letter E, exalts. Now, we honor Him when we hallow His name, when we esteem Him with the highest thoughts. Yes, when we esteem Him with the highest thoughts. E, esteem Him with the highest thoughts. Now, think of His power, think of His wisdom. Look at the creation around us. Should we not honor and adore the one true living God for His creative work? Yes, for His creativity in creating all the things around us. My dear friends, we should. We should honor and to glorify Him. Now you think of spring. Yes, spring, during spring, everything seems to become alive all of a sudden. Yes, and in winter, all the plants look as if they have gone to sleep. Some of them even appear to have died. But then when spring comes around, everything seems to become alive all of a sudden. The flowers bloom and the beauty of the flowers is simply breathtaking. Or maybe you didn't pay attention. But friends, the beauty of the flowers is simply very, very breathtaking. And it is really very awesome, right? If you pay attention, you realize that it's really very, very breathtaking. It's true what the Lord Jesus Christ says with regards to the glory of the flowers. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 29, He says, "And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these flowers that you see in the fields." Solomon was very, very glorious. He was famed for his reputation, famed for his wealth, and famed for his wisdom, and so forth. And the Lord says, Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these little flowers that we see in the fields. And the creator of this beauty that we see is none other than the one true living God, whose name we ought to hallow. Now, as I said, perhaps we are just too busy to appreciate the beauty of these flowers and to relate the beauty of these flowers to their creator. And perhaps too consumed by our work. Yes, first to relate the creation that we see around us to the one true living God. Yes, we fail to see the animals around us, the birds that fly in the air, the plants that are around us. We fail to see, to look at our fellow human beings and realize that all these things are created by the one true living God. And so we fail to honor Him for His works as our Creator. But friends, I think now and then we must come before the Lord and be still before Him. We must do that. Come before Him and be still before Him and recognize that He is the one true living God, the creator of the heaven and of the earth, of the heavens and of the earth, and all the things that are therein. Yes, come and be still with Him, before Him, and pause and adore Him as adore Him for His work in creation. Now, to hallow Him is to honor Him. It is to regard Him as being infinitely good and to esteem Him as excellently precious to us. To esteem Him as very, very precious, esteem Him as infinitely good. Is He not precious to us? My dear friends, He sent His only begotten Son Yes, he gave his all in order that he might save us. Is he not precious to us if he has given his all to save us? Some years ago, I did talk about Steve Irwin, I think about two messages ago when I preached. Yes, some years ago, at the memorial service of Steve Irwin, remember he died because he was accidentally killed by a stingray. Yes, he died, and then a memorial service was held for him. Without a doubt, the people who honored him most at the memorial service were his father, his wife, and his daughter, Mindy. Yes. But there was one person who was outside of the family, yes, who was grieving with very, very deep emotion when he gave his tribute to Steve Irwin. You know why? You know why he honored him in such a manner? He honored him in such a manner because Steve Irwin was his savior. Steve Irwin ever saved his life. So he was very, very thankful to him. He owed his life to Steve Irwin. So at the memorial service, he gave his honor, he gave his tribute to Steve Irwin. My dear friends, let us hallow him, honor him, our Heavenly Father, for saving us. When we pray this prayer, hallowed be thy name, let us come to the foot of the cross and thank him for the death of his only begotten Son for us on the cross of Calvary. Let us thank him for the precious blood that was shed by his only begotten Son to redeem us from our sins. Now the next letter I'd like us to consider is the letter X. And I like to consider the letter X phonetically, for the sound of it, all right? Phonetically. I'd like us to think of the word exhibit, all right? We hallow him when we exhibit godly control of our tongue. And when we exhibit a life that is Christ-honoring. Deacon Anthony, can you please turn on the fan? It's very hot up here. Thank you. Yes. We hallow him when we exhibit godly control over our tongue, and we exhibit a life that is very Christ-honoring. Now, first of all, let's consider our tongue. Yes, as we said, we honor him if we have godly control over our tongue. Now, it is true, this member of our body is a small member, but this small member is a very, very powerful member. Yes, it is, the Word of God likens it to a rudder of a ship. Although small, it is able to direct the way, the direction in which the ship should be going. Although it is a very, very small item with reference to the entire size of the ship. Now, the tongue can be used for construction, and it can be used for destruction also. And you know how inflammatory words can be that are spoken when we make use of our tongue. Now, take the words spoken by the most powerful man on planet Earth, right now, Donald Trump. Yes, aren't his words very inflammatory? Now, when Donald Trump speaks today, we do not know whether his words pass through his mind or not. But when he speaks, yes, I think the world is very, very nervous when he speaks. Yes, because his words can literally cause nations of the world to go to war. Yes, that is how inflammatory his words are. Now, words, as we said, could be very destructive. Words spoken can be very constructive also. Yes, now you take, for example, the constructive words spoken by this great man, Sir Winston Churchill, during the Second World War, when the British were defending themselves against the attack of the Germans. He said this in Parliament in the year 1940, "We shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, we shall fight in the fields, in the streets, we shall fight in the hills, we shall never surrender." Now, those words were very, very inspiring words, and they inspired the British to stand up against the attacks of the Germans. So you see, the tongue may be used in a constructive manner, it can be used in a destructive manner. It can be used for swearing, it can be used for cursing, it can be used for blessing the name of our God. James 3 verses 8 and 9 say this, "Therewith, with the tongue, blessed be God, even the Father, and therewith cursed be men, which are made after the similitude of God. out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Yes, to hallow him, we must use our tongue to bless the name of our Lord. We must use our tongue to mention God's name with a reverence and to mention God's name with utter holiness. Let's be careful not that we not curse. Now, we might not be cursing God directly when we curse a fellow man. We might not be cursing God directly, but we might just be cursing God indirectly, because man is made after the similitude of God. Man is made after the image of God. Yes, particularly, my dear friends, when we curse a fellow believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, let us be very, very careful, because our fellow believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has actually been recreated by the one true living God in the image of God. We are recreated so that we will become more and more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's be careful that we not curse a fellow believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you tried cursing a dog? I mean, cursing a dog in earshot of its owner. You try that and see what happens. All right? A dog owner leading his dog. You curse his dog and see what happens. I say, please don't do it. All right, you are asking for very, very serious trouble. And we are only talking about a dog. A dog. Only a dog. A dog is not made in the image of the owner. And yet the owner is already very, very offended. What about man, created after the image of the one true living God? Now, if we were to curse our fellow man, curse a fellow believer in the Lord Jesus Christ in particular, would not God be offended? Think about it, my dear friends. Logically, yes, God would naturally be very offended if we curse a fellow man. Yes, we might not be cursing God directly, but we surely are cursing him indirectly. We might just be blaspheming his name. So, let no filthy communication come forth from our mouth. Let our language be pure. Let it be spoken to the praise and honor of the one true living God. Let our tongue hallow the name of the Lord. Now then, we hallow him when we exhibit a life that is Christ honoring. So the question is, are we hallowing his name with our life? Honoring him with our life? When we come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what we have actually done? When we have come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God tells us that we have actually put on Christ. As it were, wearing Christ, put on Christ. Yes, so my dear friends, we are to bring God's honor to the name of the one true living God by our life. Yes. We need to say amen to what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 to 21. Paul says this, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also shall, and now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul's desire was that Christ be magnified in his life, in his body. Whether he was alive or whether he was going to die, he wanted Christ to be magnified in his body. Yes, he wanted to live a life that is very, very Christ-honoring, so that God's name would be hallowed. So, my dear friends, when we take any action in life, the pertinent question that we need to ask is this. Any action, will this action of mine glorify the name of the Lord, or is it going to bring shame to the name of the Lord? This is a very, very pertinent question to ask. And we need to ask it. Yes, will this action of mine bring honor to the Lord, to the Lord, or will it bring shame to his name? Now, there is this professed believer who went from job to job. At the beginning, people believed in him, or believed him, when he said that he had to move from one job to another because his employer was very unkind to him, or his colleagues were very, very unkind to him. They mistreated him. And so people believed him at the very beginning. But the truth of the matter is that now he's gone to, I do not know how many jobs, perhaps hundreds of jobs. And each time he leaves the job, it's the same excuse. My boss was unkind to me or has been unkind to me. My fellow colleagues have been ill-treating me. Same excuses all the time. And this person professes to be a believer. Now the sad truth could be this, that he, in actual fact, is being very unfriendly. He's suspicious of other people, he's being very self-righteous, and he's very, very condemning. And he's supposed to be a believer. Yes, could this person be living his working life in honor of the one true living God? Is he hallowing the name of the Lord? The answer is obviously no, he's not doing that. My dear friends, yes, I think instead of hallowing the name of the Lord, this person in actual fact is hallowing the name of the Lord. Now I'd like us to consider the next letter, which is the letter A. We hallow his name when we advance the devotion of people towards the one true living God. Yes, but today, let's look around. What do we see? Do we see devotion unto the Lord? No, we don't. What do we see? We see wickedness, we see godlessness, we see corruption, we see wars, we see killings, we see murders. The world is indeed wrecked by sin. Yes? Now, if we want to hallow the Lord's name, let us, my dear friends, advance the devotion of people to the one true living God. And how may we may advance the devotion of people to the towards the one true living God? I think the start is we must give the gospel to people. When people come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and when they fear Him, that will be the beginning of the devotion unto the one true living God. Now, would we not be hallowing the name of the Lord if we give the gospel to junk addicts, to junkers, to crooks, and to thieves, and the power of God changes their lives so that from being blasphemers of the one true living God, they become preachers of the one true living God, or praisers of the one true living God. Now I'd like us to think of this man, Mike Hoagland, our dear friend. It was only yesterday that I understood that he had gone home to be with the Lord, some 3 years ago. I didn't know about that until Brother Roger told me yesterday that he had gone home to be with the Lord, some 3 years ago. Now he died of cancer. Now, this man was a drunkard for a long part of his life, yes, and then he was abusive towards his family. And one day, his daughter invited him to church, and he went. He heard the gospel, and he was thoroughly converted, and he became a preacher of the gospel. Yes, not long after that, he became a preacher of the gospel, yes. Now, and a very, very effective one also. Now, do you not think that this daughter of his, by bringing the gospel to the father and bringing the father to the Lord Jesus Christ, had hallowed the name of the one true living God? Surely she had. She had advanced the devotion of his father, of her father, towards the one true living God. Friends, would we not be hallowing the name of the Lord if we give the gospel to the proud, to the conceited, to the self-worshippers, and the power of the God of the gospel changes their life, and they become humble worshippers of the one true living God? My dear friends, we surely would be hallowing the name of the Lord. So friends, every time we pray this prayer, hallowed be thy name, let us think for a moment what we mean by that. My dear friends, we should be telling ourselves or telling the Lord, Lord, we want to hallow your name by adding people to your kingdom. We want to advance their piety. We want to advance their devotion unto you. Now let's consider the next letter, the letter L. We hallow him when we love his name. We must love him. We must love him who loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to die for us. He showed and proved his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still enemies of the one true living God, God sent his Son to die for us. When we love the Son, when we love the Son, we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we are actually expressing our love to the one true living God. Yes, we are told to kiss the Son. Now, if we do not kiss the Son and we spurn the love of the Son, my dear friends, we will be incurring the love of the incurring the wrath of the one true living God, the anger of the one true living God. Psalm 2 verse 12 says, kiss the Son, lest God be angry, and he perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Kiss the Son. If we don't kiss the Son, we spurn the love of the Son, God's wrath will be incurred. How dear is the name of the Son of God to us? Do we treasure and honor his name as the songwriter urges us to do? The songwriter says this. He says, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, in other words, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. My dear friends, do we love him enough to crown him as our Lord? If indeed we want to hallow his name, he must be our Lord. We must love him enough to have him as the Lord of our life. Next, we hallow his name when we trust in him, the letter T, when we trust in him. He says it very, very clearly in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How can we hallow his name if we can't even please him? And we can't please him because we do not have faith in him. Now, there's one thing that the children of Israel were famous for. You know what was that thing? Murmuring. All right, murmuring. They were famous for murmuring when the children of Israel led by Moses came up into the wilderness. One of the things that they were very, very famous for or notorious for was this thing called murmuring. They murmured all the time. Yes, they complained. They keep on asking God to prove his power, to ask God to prove that he's powerful, to ask God to prove that he is faithful. But the truth of the matter is that God is absolutely faithful. God is absolutely able. And God demonstrated his power when he brought the children out of the land of Egypt. He sent 10 powerful plagues to afflict the Egyptians. The children of Israel saw that. And yet they were not willing to accept, to believe that this God of theirs is all powerful, able to do all things. And did not God provide for them? God was very faithful. He provided for them. He gave them heavenly food. Yes, manna. But they were not happy with the food. They loved all the fish, the cucumber, and the garlic in the land of Egypt. And so they murmured and they murmured. Now, why did they murmur? They murmured because they had no faith in the one true living God. In times of need, in the times when they were in need, instead of praying unto the Lord, instead of having faith in him, they complained and they complained. They murmured and they murmured. And they asked God to prove himself, ask God to show himself to be faithful and to be able. Now, the truth, as we said, God is able and faithful. My dear friends, if we know only how to whinge, Australians are famous for whinging, right? Now, if we know only how to whinge and to gripe, how can we be good witnesses for the Lord? How could we cause people, God, to be more glorious in the eyes of unbelievers when by our murmurings we are telling people that the God that we believe in is not able and not faithful? So we are not bringing honor and glory to the Lord. We are not hallowing his name. Instead, my dear friends, all of us should be like Abraham. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Let's learn to trust the one true living God, just like Abraham did. And let us, by our faith, bring honor and glory to our God. Let people see that our God, the God that we believe in, is able and faithful by showing people that we really trust and depend on this God that we believe in. Now, finally, we hallow his name when we give him holy and spiritual worship. The letter S, spiritual worship. We hallow his name when we worship him in the manner in which he wants us to worship him. Now, you remember in the Old Testament, there were these two priests, the sons of Aaron, yes, Nadab and Abihu. These two priests exercising their priestly office for the first time. And then they were supposed to worship the one true living God in the way that God wanted them to worship. But they did not obey God's command. And the word of God tells us that they offered strange fires unto the one true living God. And as a result of which, they were struck dead by God. Alright, I'd like us to turn to Exodus chapter 10, and Leviticus 10 verses 1 to 3. Leviticus 10 verses 1 to 3. Alright? Leviticus 10 verses 1 to 3. Alright. Let me read this for you. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fires before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Now, we do not know what these strange fires were, but they were surely not the kind of fires that God had commanded them to present before him. Verse 2. And there went up fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Now, friends, true worship must be in spirit and in truth. It must be in complete obedience to the command of the Lord. Our worship must be in spirit and in truth. Now, what is meant by to worship God in spirit? What it means is this: our worship of the one true living God must be very spiritual. Yes, it must not be ritualistic, but spiritual. It must be from the heart. It must be a sincere worship. It must be a worship guided by God's mighty Holy Spirit. That is what is meant by a spiritual worship. How can the worship be from the heart when there is so much distraction, when there is so much self in the worship, so much entertainment from love rock music? How can that kind of worship be pleasing unto the Lord? Or I should say, so-called worship be pleasing unto the Lord? How can it be glorifying to the name of the Lord? Worship that hallows the Lord must also be in truth. Yes, it must be based on the word of God. Yes, that is how we must worship the one true living God. We must not worship God any old how, in any way we please, but it must be in accordance to the word of God. The singing must glorify him. I sometimes fear that our singing is such a drag. When we are supposed to be singing praises unto the one true living God, we make the singing sound as if we are singing a funeral song. And that's the truth. It is so draggy. Right? Then the scripture reading must glorify him. When we read scriptures, let us not hurry in reading scriptures, but let us read scriptures very, very deliberately with understanding so that we will glorify him. The preaching must be glorifying to him also. Preaching must always be based on the word of God. But preaching must always be glorifying to the name of the Lord and not to leave the self or the image of the person who's preaching. The giving of the offering must glorify him. Now, what does that mean? What it means is that we must not present our offering in a very haphazard way. All right, I said this before years ago when we were counting money from the offering bag. Sometimes we also found dockets in the offering bags. Dockets! Shopping dockets. Yes. It just shows how careless people were in presenting their offerings unto the Lord. Let us not think that such offerings will be acceptable to him. No, they will not be, friends. When we worship the Lord and present our offerings unto him, let us be sure that our offerings are not presented in a haphazard way or in an unthinking manner. But let us be very, very well prepared when we present our offerings unto him. Now, having said that, I must say that we so-called evangelical fundamentalists could be swinging to the other extreme. All right? I might say that our worship is rather dispirited compared to the so-called very lively worship that we see in some of these contemporary churches that play this contemporary music at the worship service. Yes, but we could be swinging to the other extreme. I might say that our worship is very dispirited, to say the least, if not half-day. But friends, we must be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, the word fervent has the idea of bubbling over, like boiling water, like boiling water does. Yes, what kind of water, my dear friends, do you think we have at this worship service? I dare say it is not hot water. I dare say that it's lukewarm water, and that kind of water is very, very nauseating to the one true living God. Friends, we might not be offering strange fire unto the Lord like Nadab and Abihu, but I dare say that we are in danger of offering no fire at all at our worship service unto the Lord. And that's the truth, my dear friends. If we want to hallow the name of the Lord, let us be sure that we be worshipping Him in spirit and in truth. God's name is equivalent to God Himself. So when we hallow His name, what we really mean is that we are actually hallowing Him. And to hallow Him means to hallow His name means to set His name apart. And to set His name apart means we are to make use of His name not for any common purpose. His name must be mentioned with holiness, and His name must be mentioned with utter reverence. And when do we hallow Him? I made use of the acronym EXALT. We hallow Him when we esteem Him with the highest thoughts. Yes, we hallow Him when we honor Him with praises for His greatness, and we lift up His glory in the eyes of our fellow men. And we hallow Him when we honor Him for His goodness, for saving us by sending His only begotten Son to die for us. And we hallow Him when we exhibit godly control of our tongue, and when we exhibit a life that is Christ-honoring. We hallow Him when we bless His holy name with our tongue, and we do not use our tongue for cursing and for swearing. We hallow Him when we live lives that bring honor and glory to Him. We hallow Him when we advance the devotion of people to the one true living God. We hallow Him when we are instrumental in bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We hallow Him when we love Him because He first loved us. And we hallow Him when we trust in Him. We hallow Him when we show the world that this God of ours is both able and faithful. And that is the reason why we are trusting in Him. We hallow Him when we give Him holy and spiritual worship. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the God worthy of our worship. O Lord God, we pray that when we pray the Lord's Prayer every Lord's Day, when we say that we want to hallow Your holy name, give us the understanding of what it actually means. Help us to understand that primarily what we are saying is we want to bring honor and glory to Your holy name. Father, help us to have this understanding. And Father, we pray that when we pray this prayer, help us to understand that we are to live our lives in such a way that it will glorify Your holy name, that we will make use of our tongue for the purpose of glorifying You, for blessing You, and for bringing people to come and believe in You as Lord and Savior. Father, we pray that You will be very gracious to Your people. Draw Your people closer unto Yourself. Increase their faith in You. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.